Toftes Sivan, Friday the 1st of July, Rabbi Shimon Heller, Parshas Chukas, turning mitzvahs into mitzvahs.
Hey, good morning everyone. The Gemara Shabbos comes from both. The Gemara teaches us, the Gemara tells us a story of one of the daughters of Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva had amazing children. He had the son of Shua ben Korcha, who was the ultimate tzaddik. He had a daughter, all his children reflected him and his wife. One of the daughters of Rabbi Akiva married the godlover of the time, Ben Azai. And the Gemara tells us when she married Ben Azai, the day he comes back from the Chuppah, the day after the Chasna, Ben Azai walks home that night, opens his Gemara and gets lost inside his learning. And the entire night, Rabbi Akiva's daughter stands there and she holds a candle over his Gemara that he can sit and learn. And the next morning, Ben Azai says to his wife, he says, I can't take the tsar of marriage. Nafshi choshka b'Torah. I just can't take this. I have to involve myself in Torah. And she accepts a divorce from him. She was a tzaddikis. And they said about her, Kerochel kerecheiro. The you is like the recheiro, like the lamb, like the mother. She was like, she reflected the tzidkis of her mother, Rochel. So all his children were amazing, beyond our ideals. But he brings one daughter, and this is the story the Gemara brings, of one of the daughters of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Akiva had a daughter. One day, Omale Kaldoi, one day he meets these people, these are stargazers, these are goyim, but they know the future. Omale Kaldoi, these Kaldoi tell to Rabbi Akiva, that Hahu Yoyim on that day, the Ayin of the Beit Ganana, the day that your daughter will go under the chuppah, Torach Lochivya Umiso, she will be smitten by a snake is going to bite her and she's going to die the day of the chuppah. Says the Gemara, Hava De'iga Amil Setuba. Rabbi Akiva was extremely nervous about this. In other words, although they were goyim, he knows that they can see the mazoles. He knows that they can predict the future, and it is true. And therefore, he knows his daughter is going to die the night of the chuppah. And he was extremely frustrated and cut up about what he had heard. Says the Gemara, the day comes, the day of the chasna, Hu Yoyim, the day comes, and his daughter is this kala, she's preparing herself. Hu Yoyim, that day, Shokla Machbanta Dotsla Aguda. On the night of the chasna, she took out her hairpin, and in those days they had these stone walls, and she puts it into one of the holes in the walls. Says the Gemara, it's Yaif, it just worked out. She got a bullseye in the eye of the snake, she put in the pin without even knowing this, and she killed the snake. The next morning when she comes up, and she pulls out a pin, the snake comes sliding out behind her hairpin. Says the Gemara, the next morning, Rabbi Akiva wakes up, everyone's excited, the day after the chasna, but Rabbi Akiva knows that his daughter's dead. So he goes to the house of his daughter, and he's ready for the levaya, and he's ready for all the crying, he's ready for all the pain, and he knocks on the door, and his heart, he's holding his heart, and as he comes to the door, who opens the door? His daughter, in all her glory, and all her beauty, there's the color herself. So Omar Abua, so he says to what happened, and she says the story, I took out my hairpin, I killed the snake. Omar Abua, so Rabbi Akiva says to his daughter, my Abdus, you have a schus, what mitzvah did you do that you were saved from the gezeira that you would be killed by this snake? Omar, she says to him, Bapanya last night, Ose Anya Kora Abova, she says, last night a poor man came to the chasana. He was starving and nobody noticed him. I mean, obviously Rabbi Akiva's family, had they noticed this poor man, they would have immediately given him to eat. But nobody noticed him besides for her. She's also fasting. She said, what did I do? I took my own portion and I gave it to this poor man. I gave it to the army. Rabbi Akiva jumped up and he was so excited. And these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Tana and he says as follows. Oh, Mama, he says, Biti, my daughter, mitzvah of this. You did a mitzvah. Nofak, he went out and he taught everybody, Tzedakah tatsam imaves, Tzedakah saves a person's life from death. We want to understand the first words of Rabbi Akiva. Biti, my daughter, mitzvah of this. You did a mitzvah. Well, obviously she did a mitzvah. She gave tzedakah. Who doesn't know that tzedakah is a mitzvah? He told us, tzedakah tatsal mimaves. That's a chiddush. From today on, we know that tzedakah saves people's lives. The school of tzedakah is that it saves lives. But why does he tell us, biti mitzvah of this? You did a mitzvah. Obviously she did a mitzvah. She gave tzedakah. And the Gemara has to write down that Rabbi Akiva said that his daughter did a mitzvah. Obviously she did a mitzvah. What is the Gemara teaching us? And what is the Gemara trying to tell us? In Sefer Daniel, Perek Gimel, we have the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He's a very powerful king. He sets up this massive image in Pikas Dura. And together with the image, he sends up a massive bandstand and a burning furnace. And he says as follows. He said, on the day that I choose, I'm going to set aside a day. On that day, I want representatives from every Umovaloshin, from every nation, from every people, from every type. I want representatives. And they have to come to Pikas Dura, where I set up this massive golden image. And the second that they hear all my instruments starting to play, everybody is to fall down to the ground and to prostrate themselves before the image that I have set up. Says the Novi, who are the representatives of Klal Yisrael? Three amazing super tzaddikim, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now they know they're going to stand before this Nisoyen. It wasn't exactly Avodah Zarah. Do they have to give up their lives? Do they not have to give up their lives? Says the Gemara, they ran to their Rebbe, Doniel, who was the greatest of the four, and they said, Doniel Rabbeinu, teach us, Doniel, what should we do in this situation? They come to Doniel, the Bakish Mimeno Eitzel, to ask for advice, what should we do? They start with, oh, you know, should we bow down? What should we do? Omarhem, so he says, Hanovi lefonechem. The Navi says, this is a Medrash in Shir HaShirin. The Navi says, go to the Navi Yecheskel and ask the Navi what to do in such a situation. So Hanan Mishav Azari, they go down to the Navi Yecheskel and they say, Yecheskel, this is the situation. What do we do? Says to them Yecheskel, Kach nu kublani li Rebbe. I've got Kabbalah from my Rebbe who's Yishaya Hanavi, and this is what you should do. Chavi kimat rega ad yavar zoam. Go and hide yourself until the anger subsides. Get out of the way, hide in a cave, just keep away from the whole situation. Let everything happen. They may not even notice that you're not there. There's going to be millions of people. Oh, they'll notice, or they won't notice. Wait for Nebuchadnezzar's anger to subside. Keep out of the way, and that way you've done no Avera, and your lives will be safe. So Hanani Mishav Azari, they turn to the Navi Yecheskel, and they say, you know what? Your idea is a brilliant idea. And if we do that, we will live, and we would have done no chait. But, where's the Kiddush Hashem? We want to show the world. We will stand and we will not bow. And if we take your advice, the Kiddush Hashem will be missing. So the Navi Yecheskel says, so what do you want to do? They said, we want to go and we want to stand there and not bow down. Will Hashem help us or will Hashem not help us? So the Navi Yecheskel said, look, I have to ask the Kiddush Baruch Hu. So he goes into an inner room and he goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says as follows. Om HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chananya Mishra V'Azariah, your children Chananya Mishra V'Azariah, Mevakshim Litei Nafshim HaKadosh HaShemecha. They want to go and risk their lives for your COVID. Miskayim or Eilei Miskayim. Will you Hashem save them or will you not save them? Hashem says the following to Yecheskel HaNavi. Om Aloi says Hashem, Eini Miskayim Aleim. Get one thing clear. It's now Golos. It's now Hest upon him. I do not do miracles. Begoloi. And I will not help them. If they go and stand there, they will die. And Hashem continues and says, Chai Hashem, I swear. Im Edrish Lehem. I will not give them any time. I will not give them any nisim. They will die there as they go in their Moisa Nefesh for my Avodah Zarah. Says the Medrash, Yecheskel starts to cry and he starts to weep. And he says, we have so many tzaddikim that already died in the Churim Beis HaMikdash. These are all we've got left and now we're going to lose them as well. But he has no choice and he has to go back and tell over the message he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he goes back to the room of Hanani Mishra Bazari. They can see his red eyes. They can see his tears. They know they're going to hear bad news. And he said, I'm sorry, Hashem is not going to help you. Says the Medrash, they turn around and they confer with each other and they say, you know what? Okay, we got the message. Hashem swore that we're going to die. However, b'chol zois, we're going to go dafka with intention to die and we're going to give up our lives at Kiddush Hashem. And with that, they leave the room. Says the Medrash, u'minofku, as soon as they left the room, as soon as they leave Yecheskel, Nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hashem came back. And he says to Yecheskel, Ma'at HaSoyder, what do you think? She'eini miskayim aleim, you really think I'm not going to save them? Miskayim aleim, b'vadai, of course I'm going to save them. And they're going to have the most amazing, stupendous nisim. Chazal says, Shishom nisim nasu bo'isayoy. There were six amazing nisim that happened simultaneously. However, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El HaShavak lo'im, v'loitoyim lehem nidu. Just leave them. Don't tell them I'm going to save them. Leave them, but of course I'm going to save them, and I'm going to make them a stupendous nisim. There's one question we can ask on this medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emes and chosomoy emes. Hashem never lies. The Navi comes and says, Hashem, are you going to save them? No. Chai Oni says, Hashem said, I swear I will not save them. Oh, really, I am going to save them, but don't tell them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you say that you're not going to save them if you really intend to save them? Hashem says, Avraham Avinu, v'ha leo lo oilo. Take Yitzchok and set him up as an oilo. Then Hashem said, do not slaughter him. So Avraham said, but you told me, ha leo lo oilo. Hashem said, yeah, I told you to bring him up. I never told you to shech him. There was no sheker. Hashem never says something that's not emes. How can Hashem say, I will not save them? And they say, but really, I am going to save them. What happened mitzad milas ha-emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In the Gemara Yuma, Menzayin Amudalef, we have this amazing superwoman, and her name is Kimchis. And due to her amazing, amazing level of tznius, she was zeichet to have seven sons that were all Meshamesh Kehanim Gedoilim in the Beis HaMikdosh. Now we have to know that in the second Beis HaMikdosh, besides for a few exceptions, every single Kohen Gadol would die within the year. Because in order to go into Kodesh Kodashim, a person has to be 100% in his tzidkus, in his avas Hashem, in his avoida, and if there's the slightest begam, the person would not make it through the year, and kimat all the Kohanim Gadolim did not finish the year. Some died in the Kodesh Kodashim, those on a high level got out of the Kodesh Kodashim, but did not finish the year. But Kimchis, she had 7 children, that were Kohanim Gadolim, and did not die as a result of entering the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara. Shiva bonim hoyle the Kimchis. Kimchis had 7 children. They all went in and out and were unaffected. They were on a perfect level of Kedusha, on the highest level of Avodas Hashem. Now, if you would have a friend who would win the national lottery, a good friend of yours, so obviously you'd be happy for your friend and you'd forget him and say, I'm really happy for you, you know, Baruch Hashem. But if you would have a friend that would win the national lottery 7 weeks in a row simultaneously, you would grab his friend by his lapels, you would shake him and say, tell me your secret. What did you do? Dream quest. How did you do this? What's your skula? I'll go to America. I won't step on your feet. I'll do it somewhere. But tell me your secret. Kimchis has 7 children that were all Meshamish Bikona Kedoyra. This is not a coincidence. It does not happen. You can have 1 child, Rebbe Yashiv, but nobody's got 7 children that are all Rebbe Yashiv. So when this happened, the Rabbanim literally walked into a house and shook and said, what is your secret? How did you manage to do this? Says the Gemara as follows. Boy of Rabbanim. Rabbanim came to Kimchis and they said to her, what did you do? How were you zoicha to this? So she said, how did you marry this? Omar, she says, I was so careful with my tznias. She had the highest level of tznias, and that's why she had these amazing children. Says the Gemara, the next day, in every Beis Medrash, outside all the mikvahs, on every billboard, there were massive signs up. Skula nifro, le bonim hagunim. This is a skula to have amazing children. A woman that's smacked with them sneers, she's going to have those super children. And obviously all the men were coming home and all the women were taking on this new anhaga. Says the Gemara, a while later, they came back to Kimchis and they said to her, harbo osuke veloi ha'ilu. We tried it and it didn't work. And the question is, why didn't it work? If Kimchis said that this is a skula that she did, so she's not making it up, she's not playing with us. This is a skula, and this is why she had amazing children. And if that's the case, why is it that when others tried the skula, it didn't work for them? Now, when we say others tried the skula, it means they tried it, and they kept skula to the highest level and the highest degree, otherwise they didn't do it. They did it, and it didn't work. Why not? What was holding them back from also getting this amazing skula that Kimchis had to give her these amazing children? So we have to know what you saw today. That's really what we're coming to see, to be mechazik today, and that is an inyan of asiyas mitzvahs. Hashem gave us 613 mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are beautiful. They are so good for us. Living with mitzvahs, even in olam hazeh, is only to our benefit. They are healthy. They are physically healthy. Besides that, they've got skulas. Kosher food is healthy for us. Shabbos just does so much for a person. Besides the skulas we have behind all the various mitzvahs. However, how does a person have to do a mitzvah? When you have a mitzvah, and it's good, and it's healthy, and it's got skulas, what is the approach a person should have when he does a mitzvah? And the Chasam Sofer says this, and he says, you have to know, that when we do a mitzvah, we don't do it because it's healthy, and we don't do it because it's got skulas, and we don't do it because Hashem will pay us back. We do a mitzvah only to make Hashem happy. Ach v'rak lasas v'tzen avinu shabbat shamayim. And the purer you do the mitzvah, the more powerful the mitzvah, and the more meaningful the mitzvah. It's not so much how big the mitzvah is, it's how you approach the mitzvah, and why you do the mitzvah. There's a beautiful kliyok on Parshas Nitzavim, and it always comes up before Rosh Hashanah, and it tells you what Rosh Hashanah is all about, and it says as follows. Don't go and do mitzvahs and good things in order that Hashem should give you life. Ask for life in order to do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is not in order. The Torah is not a book of mitzvahim, a way of getting things. Mitzvahs is not, I'll do mitzvahs, Hashem should give me life. It's the other way around. I only want to live to do the mitzvahs. The mitzvah is the tzor, the mitzvah is the result. I don't do a mitzvah to gain, to the Hashem that I should receive as a result. A mitzvah's got to be done only because I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. And then, that is a real mitzvah. I want to live to do mitzvahs, not that I want to do mitzvahs in order to merit life. There's an amazing pasuk in Parshas Noach. Hashem comes to Noach and he says to him as follows, I want you to spend and do a very difficult job. I want you to build a table. It's going to take you 120 years of difficult labor to build this table. However, Hashem says to Noach, I want you to know something. There's going to be a major painful holocaust in this world. And everybody's going to be wiped out and everybody's going to die. But you, Noach, and your family are going to survive. I want you to build a bunker under the ground, fill it up with food, get yourself ready, and when this holocaust is going to start, you will be saved. So Tanakh goes for 120 years and he builds a Teva with the knowledge that this is going to save him and his family. What does the Pasuk say? An amazing Pasuk. Perek Vav Pasuk Chof Beis. Vayas Noyach Noyach did, Kuchoy Hashet Tziva Oysoy Elikim, everything as Hashem commanded, Kain Osa, that is what he did. So the question is, there's a repetition here. Vayas Noyach Noyach did, Kuchoy Hashet Tziva Oysoy Elikim, as Hashem commanded, Kain Osa, that's what he did. You just said Vayas Noyach. So what's a Kain Osa? What's a repetition? So I saw the most beautiful pshat. Noach built a Teva. Why? Not to save himself. Not to save his family. Not for his future. Because that's what Hashem commanded. Vayas Noach, Noach did it. Kecholil Hashem Tziva Oysel Kim, as Hashem commanded, Kain Osa. That is what he did. He did the commandment. He didn't do the skula. He had no intention to save himself. He didn't do it for that. He toiled for 120 years just to do Rotzon Hashem. Just to make Hashem happy and to make Hashem proud. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and he said, I want you to leave your land. The Pasuk says as follows, gracious your base Aleph. Hashem said to Avraham, Lechecho, me'artzcho, mimoladcho, mi'beis avicho, lo'etzasharecho, v'esteligogod, etc. Continues the Pasuk, Vayas Avraham, kashet diber elo Hashem. Avraham did like Hashem commanded him. The Pasuk begins by saying, Vayoymer Hashem el Avraham. Hashem says to Avraham, leave your land. The Pasuk finishes by saying, Vayas Avraham kashe diber elav Hashem. Ask to Erechaim HaKadosh. Hashem came with an Amira, Vayoymer Hashem el Avraham. So it should say, Vayas Avraham kashe omar lo elikim. Whatever an Amira is, Hashem gave him an Amira. So he did the Amira. So why does it say, Vayas Avraham kashe diber elav Hashem? Says Erechaim HaKadosh, Amira is Lashon Rach, easy, sweet. Dibur is Lashon Kosher, very difficult. Hashem comes to Avram and says, I want to leave your hometown. But it's not hard, it's easy. Because the heirs for the great God oil, you're going to go there, and there you're going to have children. And there you're going to be wealthy. Here you won't have children, there you will. Here you won't be wealthy, there you will. You're going to become a Rosh Hashiva, you're going to succeed. Everything's going to go your way. So it's Vayoyim Hashem al Avram. It's Amira, it's easy. But when Avram actually did it, he didn't think of all the benefits and all the gains. He did it only to do Rotzon Hashem. So there was no gains and no gains and no benefits. In that case, it was difficult because he's leaving his hometown with no gain as a result. Vayas Avram kashet diber elav Hashem. He took the difficult bit. He did the bit for only the Shem Shamayim. So he only had the dibur, not the Amira. Hashem promised him results, but he wasn't interested. He wasn't looking at the results. So he got only the cherek ha-dibur. Vayas Avram kashet diber elav Hashem. So that's really how a person has to do a mitzvah. To do it only because Hashem commanded. Says the Orach Haim, says the Chasam Sofer, it's much more than that. When there's a skula and a mitzvah, if you do the mitzvah for the skula, you have tampered the koyach of the skula. When you do the mitzvah for the mitzvah, then you've done the mitzvah, then you have the skula. For example, says the Chasam Sofer, when you put up a mezuzah, do not say, I'm now putting up my shmira for my house. Because then you haven't put up a mezuzah, then you put up a CCTV camera. So you haven't made the mezuzah. The mitzvah of mezuzah is showing of the house. A CCTV camera is not showing of the house. So when you put up your mezuzah, say, I'm putting up the mezuzah like Hashem commanded to do Rotzon Hashem, then it will really be a shmira for the house. But if you put it up as a shmira, so you've done the skula, so you haven't done a mitzvah, so not that it won't work, but you've weakened the whole koyach of the skula. Let's see one example, the difference between a mitzvah that's done for the mitzvah and a mitzvah that's done for skula, and the difference between the power of those two mitzvahs. In the Gemara Sanhedrin of Ayin Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us one night in the life of Shlomo HaMelech. This was the night after he married Bas Pare, the daughter of Pare. Now that night, she danced in front of him at the Chasana 100 different dances, and she got him very tired, he drank wine, and he was really exhausted, and he fell into a deep sleep. And the next morning, during the night, Bas Pare went and she drew on the windows different stars and the moon. So when Shlomo woke up in the morning and he opened like half an eye, he saw it was still dark outside, he saw the stars, he went back to sleep. The problem was that night was the night of Chanukah's Beis HaMikdosh. And this was one of the first days of the Avodah's Beis HaMikdosh. Outside the Beis HaMikdosh that morning was waiting all the Kohanim, all the Levim, to sing the Shiros, to bring the Kerbonos. But the key of the Beis HaMikdosh was under Shlomo's pillow, and Shlomo had overslept. Now Shlomo never overslept. He was a tzaddik. This is the first time, but it was the wrong night. And so outside the Beis HaMikdosh there's a Chil Hashem, and everyone wants to go in, and they want to do the Avodah, but Shlomo's not there. When Shlomo's mother, Bathsheba, got the hang of this, she went into Shlomo's room. She is his mother. She was mechiach him. Chazal said she hit him with a slipper to the king Shlomo in his chambers, and she gave him a very strong telling off. And this is what the Gemara says.
Amr Biechner Shumim Shumim Bayechai. Melamed, we learn, she coughed the email Amr. She tied him against the post, and she hit him. But Amr, and she said this, Mabri, what is this, my child? How can he oversleep? Umabar Bitni, what is this, the son of my womb? Umabar Nidri, and the son of my neighbor. And the Gemara Dorish each one of these three Tachachos. Mabri, Umabar Nidri, Umabar Bitni, Umabar Nidri. Let's see the third one, Umabar Nidri. Says the Gemara as follows. She said to Shlomo HaMelech, I wanted to know something. David HaMelech had 18 wives. He knew, all his wives knew, that one of their children is going to be the next king. And whichever one will have that child will be the one to be Mamshech Malchus Beis David Ad HaMashiach. You can imagine that every woman was craving, all his 18 wives wanted, that they should be the mother of the next king. Says the Gemara, Kol Noshim Shabbei Salicha, all the wives of David HaMelech, and they were great women. They were all doing skulas, they were all saying Tilim Achidah, they were all getting tzedakah, they were all trying every skula they could. And what did they say? Hoyunoidros, they made Nadorim, and they said, Yeli Ben Hogun Amalchus, let my child be the king, let my child be the Melech. But Sheva also did skulas, what did she do? Lani, no darti ba'amarti, I made the neder and I said, Yeli ben zoris umumula v'toira v'hogun amalchus. I just want my child to be a tzaddik. I just want him to be a Yerei Shamayim. So from all the wives of David HaMelech, and he had the most amazing wives, he had Michal Bashod and Abigail, from all the wives, the one that had the next king was Abigail, because she was Bathsheba, because she's not the one that asked for the next king. All the rest of the school for the king, so they didn't have the power. But she did L'shem Shemayim, I just want to have a tzaddik, I just want to have a novi, I just want to have a child that will serve you. Since you were so pure, and she did it so L'shem Shemayim, it had so much more power, so much more effect, that's the school that made the difference, and that was the school that works. Says the Ben Yoyodo, Kimchis did a school of tzniyas. She had amazing tzniyas, the highest level of tzniyas. She had amazing children. Everyone went and copied her. They also want to have such amazing children. But that's why it really didn't work. Because they did it to have the children, they didn't do it for the tzniyas. Not that it wasn't worth it, and not that they didn't gain as a result, and for sure the children were better as a result. But what Kimchis did was special. Kimchis never knew. She was tzanua because she knew that would give Hashem Hanor, because she wanted to show Hashem that she's loyal to Hashem. That's a different level of mitzvah, and therefore the effects are so much stronger. Says the Ben Yoyodah, however, Noshim also came. Many other women did this as well. The loy ha'inu, it didn't help them. Why? Pirush. Also tzniyas, they did the tzniyas bishvil larviach doba yokozeh. They did the tzniyas in order to gain these results, to have amazing children. Shat tzniyas musugeres negunu gedoyla velachein lo yoyilu, because it wasn't pure. Her mitzvah was only pure. Their mitzvah had other ideals behind it. They had other kavanas, so they already tempered the koyach of the mitzvah, and they already were not able to bring such an amazing Yeshua. Let's come back to Hanani Mishol and Azariah. Hanani Mishol and Azariah knew that they're going to do the most amazing mitzvah. They're going to be moist and nefesh of Kiddush Hashem. They go to the Novi Yecheskel and they say, Miskayim Ayinim Miskayim. Will Hashem help us as a result of the mitzvah, or will Hashem not help us? We know that mitzvah is Mogeinu Matzli. A mitzvah gives a koyach to a person and it looks after the person. Will our mitzvah have the power to look after us and save us from this gezeira? Comes the Kodesh Baruch and says, no, I swear, it's Zman Golus, I will not help them, they will not have a miracle. Because as long as they're thinking that we're going to get a comeback for our mitzvah, that Hashem is going to pay us up and give us something back, and our mitzvah will protect us, they will not, the mitzvah is not strong enough, it's Golus, I will not help them. Yechesel comes out and he says, Hashem swore, you are not going to survive. They said they were going anyway. At Dalta Dohokhi we're going. We're going to go and we're going to be Moisa Nefesh. The second they did that, now the mitzvah is pure. They said, although we know there's going to be no comeback, and Hashem's not going to pay us back, and there's going to be no results to our mitzvah, we're going to go anyway. Now the mitzvah is amazing. Now the mitzvah is pure. A pure mitzvah, now it's a different story. Hashem only swore he won't help them on the basis of their question. Their question was, we're doing a mitzvah which we hope you're going to help us. That won't help you. It's not strong enough during Zman Golus. But once you perfected the mitzvah, and you've done it in a data to die, with intention of dying, that you'll get no payback, now the mitzvah is so sholem, then of course it will be poyed at skulis, and of course it will be Mogeinu Matzli. And therefore this perhaps is the depth in what Rabbi Akiva was telling us. Rabbi Akiva knew that his daughter's going to die. Says the Gemara, have a de'iga amil satuva. He was extremely frightened about what was going to happen. He was frightened. What was he doing? He was sitting back. He was allowing the situation to unfold. Says Ben Yoyodah, there is no question that Rabbi Akiva was giving tzedaka and doing skulas and trying everything to save his daughter for all these years before the chasana, to do what he could that this tragedy should not unfold. Comes the day of the chasana and his daughter survives. How does she survive? because she put a hairpin into the wall and she killed the snake. Rabbi Akiva understood that if she in this physical world killed the snake, then she in the spiritual world was the one who was poured her own Yeshua. She did the mitzvah that broke the Gezerah. Because if his scrotum would have broken the Gezerah, then he would have killed the snake. And if she killed the snake, she saved herself. So Rabbi Akiva said, I don't understand. What did you do, my daughter? She said, I gave a portion to the poor man. Rabbi Akiva said, I don't understand this. How much is this portion? About $5? I've given millions of dollars to tzedakah. I've tried every scholar. How can it be that your scholar worked and not my scholar? How can this be? He said, I've realized something. Bitti, my daughter, mitzvah of this, you did a mitzvah, I did a scholar. I wanted my daughter to survive. I've been throwing money in all directions. You didn't know you were in danger. You just gave it with all the purity. Your $5 had more power than my thousands of dollars because you did it just to make Hashem happy, just to do the right thing, whereas I did it in order to bring a result, so it was so much weaker, a smaller, a bigger miser, but not a Shem Shemaim, it hasn't got the same effect. I once, many years ago, heard the Shia, I think it was from Rabbi Tauber, and he told over the following story. He said he was once sitting in his office, and he gets a phone call from somebody, and the person said, look, there's a Jewish child going through a serious operation now. Please say tell him for this child. He said, I didn't know the child, I didn't know who it was, but a Jewish child was going through an operation. So he said, I genuinely went to my shelf, and I took out Tehillim, and I poured out my heart for 10 minutes to Hashem. And I said, Hashem, a Jewish child, have mercy, have pity on a Jewish child, and don't let this child, Cholila, don't let us lose this Jewish child, Cholila. He said, I did 10 minutes of Tehillim, I finished, I put back the Tehillim, and I carried on learning. Within a number of minutes, the phone rang, and it was his granddaughter, frantic, on the phone. She said, you won't believe what happened, Daddy. He said, what happened? She said, my son was playing with friends. He was lying on the road and a car drove straight over him. We were sure that we were pulling a dead child out from under the car. And he came out and had a few scratches, nothing. So Rav Tauber said, there's a scholar called a Mispalel al Chaveri Hu Ne'anet Chila. When you daven for somebody else, Hashem said, if you care for somebody else, then I care about you. But he said, when I daven, it was genuine. I said, Hashem, how can you do this to a Jewish child? It was so genuine. And therefore I feel the effects were so powerful that Hashem saved my grandchild. So even if a person has to do the skula, and two people want the same thing, two people want a shidduch, so they're each going to daven for each other, and you do the skula. But when you daven for the other person, don't daven for the other person, there should be a skula for me, that I should therefore have a child, or have a shidduch, or have a child, because I'm davening for the other person. When you daven for the other person, say, I know the pain, because I've also felt it, and I'm davening for that person, and for that person only. Because the more genuine, and the more deep the tefillah is, and the more you're thinking of the other person, or doing it genuinely, the more power it holds, and the more effect it can have. So let's finish off with one last amazing story from the Navi. I love this story. We know the story, but the message of the story is so powerful. What it is, a genuine mitzvah. In Sefer Melachim Perek Dalet, we have the story of Ish HaShunamis. Every time Elisha would pass through Shunam, he would stay in the house of this very great woman, the Ish HaShunamis. Chazal tell us this woman was extremely hospitable. She didn't only take the Navi, she took everybody. The Nebuchs, people who needed help, but also the Navi, everyone. And the Navi used to stay in the house, and one day she turns to her husband, and she says, Ish hazeh kodeshu, this man is a holy man. How does she know? Chazal say, no fly ever touched his food. Chazal say she would change the mattresses, she would change the sheets at the end of every day. All the other guests, there would be sweat on the mattresses, because during the night it was very hot. When she would change the beds of the Navis, of Elisha, say Chazal, so when she would change the sheets, she would smell the Reach Gan Eden. So she knew that when Elisha sleeps, he's metal in Gan Eden. He's in a different realm. He's on a different level. So she says to us, when this man's an Ish Kodesh, we have to treat him in the right way. So what does she do? Nasim Anias Alias Kir Ketano. Let's make him his own room. Venasim Venosim Reimitu Veshulchan Mekisei. We'll give him a chair, a table, a lamp, and he should have the absolute comfort. Chazal says she literally split the house in half. Half for her, and half for the Navi whenever he visits. The next time the Navi comes, he has his own quarters, his own table, his own chair, his own lamp, and he has the absolute comfort. And he stays there, and he's very comfortable. Say Chazal, before he leaves though, this is the Navi, HaKoros HaToiv, he has to give us something back. So what does he do? Says the Navi as follows. Vayayoyim, the day came, and he stays by her, and he sleeps there, and before he leaves, Vayayoyim al Gechazi, he says to his Meshoras Gechazi, Kurola Shunamis HaZois, call me this Shunamis. Vayikra, and he calls Vatama, the phone of her, she stands before him. Vayoyim Eloi, and he says to Gechazi, Emoi Noelel, tell this woman, Hine Chorat Oleinu Es Kol HaCharod HaZois, you have done so much for me, you have gone out of your way to be so hospitable. Malas is Loch, how can I repay you? Hayesh Daben HaMelech, do you perhaps want me to speak to the Melech Malchim HaLochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Chazal say this was the night of Rosh Hashanah, the day of Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah today, I've got protection out there. Today, what can I do to repay you? Can I speak to you for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And she says, I lack nothing, I need nothing. You know, sometimes you stay in this house, and it's so strict when you want to buy them something, but they just got everything. You just can't find any trinket that they're missing. He says, I've got everything. There's nothing you can give me. I'm too content. There's nothing lacking. And now, what does she do? She goes off back to the kitchen, and she leaves the Navi. The Navi turns to Gehazi, and he says, I've got to give her something. What can I give her? So Gehazi says, Gehazi says, you may not believe this. Aval ben Enosh, she has no children. The Isha Zokin, and they're getting on in their years, and there's not much time left. So here's this. Vayomekorlo, pull her back. Vayikorlo, and they bring her back. Vatamak b'tesach, and she stands by the door because she's already left. Vayomei says, Lemoed hazeko Yisrael, next year this time, atchivek is bein, you'll be having a child. This will be the Novi Chabakuk. She'll have this amazing child. There's one question on this piece of Novi. Elisha says, what can I give you? I've got everything. She doesn't know she hasn't got a child. She needs Gehazi to tell Elisha that she hasn't got a child. But so I'm like everybody else. This woman, there's no doubt that every single day Shachris, she was moiti a yam shel demoy. She cried and cried and said, Hashem, achas sha'alti meis Hashem. There's only one thing I yearn. Just give me a child, Hashem. And every mincha, she would wet her pages of a siddur, scream, Hashem, my only rotten is a child. And Mar, Hashem, just give me a child. And between Mincha and Maariv, and between Maariv and Shachris and Mincha, her only tefillah, 24 hours. People who have suffered it, they say that it's something which is 24/7 tzar. She's doubling for a child all day. Comes the Navi on Rosh Hashanah. She knows it's an Ish Kodesh. What can I do? But so, and like everybody else, she doesn't know she hasn't got a child. Says to me, I'm learning something so stupendous. She says to the Navi, you want to give me a bracha because I did Achnasas Orchim? Hachnas Orchim is a mitzvah. I don't take payment for my mitzvahs. But so if I'm in a Yeshivas, I'm like everybody else. If you want to give me a bracha like my neighbor, I'll take a bracha. But if you want to give me a special bracha, because I did Hachnas Orchim, I do not sell my mitzvahs. My mitzvahs are Kodesh Baruch alone. And I will take nothing back as a payback for having done a mitzvah, because that's nothing to do with anything. That's between me and Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's too precious, and I will not even take anything as a comeback for having done this mitzvah. She has a child. The child dies 2 years later. She goes back to the Navi and she says, and now, did I ask you for the child? My mitzvah was perfect. And then the Navi of the Koyach to be Mechaya Mason and bring back the child, because indeed her mitzvah was perfect. That is what we should strive to, and that is the Koyach of a pure mitzvah, which has the ultimate skudah and had the most effects.